Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 81 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Nadia Jokinen. I say it as a question. So thank you, Nadia.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire aboard the Hogwarts Express. So make sure you've read the chapter and you're ready to butterfly stroke in the details.
Okay.
You should have made a joke about a train. You could have been like, you know,
what?
Done like a train wreck.
Water.
Magical ones do.
Over water on viaducts. I don't know.
So make sure you ride the Hogwarts Express over the river and through the woods of details.
I like it.
And before we begin, Megan has not one friends, but two weekly prophets.
Yes, I do. So, first up, I don't know if it was last week's episode, it may have been, but we speculated about what exactly the Warner Brothers studio tour was hinting at with all of these clues they were posting all over social media. We've already posted this on our page, but for people who aren't active on our social media and maybe don't know this, Gringotts is coming to the studio tour in London. So,
woo!
Gulp and galleons, I'm stoked!
Oh!
When Katie and I were over there, we did, like, apparently, I mean, they were doing construction, but I didn't think anything of the walls that were up. I just kind of assumed that's what the entrance looked like. My naivety.
You rookie.
Just, yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, this is cool. Because they decorated the walls. It was kind of Disney-esque, you know? They made them blend into the surroundings, so it looked like it was normal.
Plus, you're at, like, it's supposed to be, like, a working studio. So it looked like
it was a working studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently behind those walls that we
you know, took pictures of and walked in front of, they were building Gringotts. So they're recreating the set from Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Harry's first trip to Diagon Alley, and also they're recreating the Lestrange vault, I believe.
Oh, that's cool. Don't touch anything. It's all chocolate coins.
Actually, I think that I lied. I don't think they're doing the Lestrange vault. I'm sorry. You're going to be
able... Why would you even say that?
Because it says that... I don't know. Okay, so visitors to the Warner Brothers studio in Leavesden will be able to walk through the grand marbled foyer of the Wizarding Bank, lined with towering pillars. The hall is decorated with chandeliers and will feature goblins working away at their desks. Basically, this is going to be like Gringotts at Universal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I guess that's kind of, like, I guess I'm not really missing a whole heck of a lot, because I have seen it in pretty cool detail in Orlando. But it says, in the main hall, visitors can learn about the costumes, prosthetics, dentures, and masks used to bring goblin characters to life. Oh, wait, I was correct. Guests will then go to the depths of the Lestrange vault and see the witch's many treasures. Okay.
Oh, so you're not a liar.
I wasn't a liar.
Meg, you're a nut. Boom.
Thanks.
No, did you get it?
So it is opening on April 6th. It's opening on April 6th. So
K-M-U-T.
That's just day before is the best day ever.
What?
So that's just days before.
Oh, I thought you said it's a day before. And I was like, what's April 7th?
Just still. 4 days before the best day ever.
It's also going to be opening along with a new lobby and cafe serving Potter-inspired dishes. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So,
number two, yes, is, and this is super exciting because I've been trying to keep you guys up to date on the building of the new roller coaster happening at Islands of Adventure, and there's been leaked artwork that looks real legit, makes a lot of sense, and it totally fits.
It looks really cool.
So there's rumors now that this is going to be a Hagrid's magical creatures ride. So you're going to through the forest and meet all kinds of different creatures, and I'm guessing maybe Hagrid is going to guide you, possibly. So he'll be like the guiding force through the attraction, kind of like how Bill Weasley is the guiding force through the Gringotts ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think Forbidden Journey, it's just the trio. They're kind of taking you through the castle. So it's going to be Hagrid's going to be our main man.
Puke City?
Yes.
No, I don't think that this one... Oh, you mean the castle. I think that this one will be better for you, though, because I've seen a lot of what people think this coaster is based off of, and it's, like, literally, like, for kids. So it'll be okay.
Okay, good. Just as long as I'm not spinning around.
I don't think you're going to spin.
And people are like, use the patch behind your ear. Take Dramamine. No, it doesn't work. The patch does literally nothing. It wasn't listeners telling me this. It was other people. But the Dramamine puts me to sleep. I can't do it. So next time we're at Universal, I'm going to ask for the tour.
That's a good idea.
Yes, yes.
And then leave you guys and go eat my weight in candy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
There's also some rumored names going around. Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, because like I said, those carts we've seen pictures of, it looks like you're going to be riding Hagrid's motorbike. But it could also possibly be simplified to just Hagrid's Magical Creatures, possibly. But who knows? I mean, we have no idea.
Like, this gets me so excited.
I know.
I want this to be like, you know, people are like, I need there to be a show on TV where Hagrid is like Steve Irwin. That's what I want this ride to be.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at the track. Like, look what it could potentially, like, go over. Like, the water and the lake. Is the squid going to come out?
I hope so.
I want to see, like, centaurs. I want to see everything that we've read about in the series. Like, I want to see stuff coming out of the forest. I want to see unicorns. I want to see
thestrals.
Oh my god, Grop.
Grop, yes.
Oh, Grop, yeah.
Let's hope he looks better
there's
on the
also
ride.
Like in this little in this artwork, if you like zoom into little sections, you can kind of see like where there's going to be animals just kind of sprinkled throughout. It's not very clear, obviously. This is kind of, it looks a little bit like a watercolor type painting of it, just like a, but there's like little markings of animals possibly around. And then the queue is that big building. So who knows what'll be in there? That could be cool.
Do you think Newt will make an appearance?
I don't think so. I think that they're going to try really hard to keep those separate. Franchises separate.
I agree with you.
So here's my question, though. Do you guys think that this is the Wizarding World, Fantastic Beasts is a part of the Wizarding World, do you think that we'd ever expand Universal to have a Fantastic Beasts section?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be cool? Because it'd be like walking back in time.
So if
I don't know what it would be.
A lot of people aren't nerds like me with theme parks and understand the layout of Universal Studios. So Universal Studios is actually divided into cities. So when you walk into Universal, you're in New York. And then that's why you could, for a very short period of time, it's no longer there, but you could find the poster for the Blind Pig in New York in the little section with the housing and stuff. That there was a poster there for a while where you could go and see it, which is where Tina and Queenie and Newt and Jacob go, and that's where he, like, gets giggle water and everything.
Yeah.
So you could find that poster there. And then they also have San Diego, or San Francisco, and then London, which is where Diagon Alley is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like potentially there's room over by New York to expand, to do something with that Fantastic Beasts movie. Maybe
Makuza?
Maybe they could build Makuza, because, like, the Woolworth building would fit in perfectly there, because it would look just like, you know, part of the skyline of New York. So, and then, yeah, you could, like, maybe go in there for a ride.
Go in a Newt's case.
That would be sick. I would be so down for that.
Yeah, I wonder. Guaranteed,
that would be another screen ride, though. Universal loves those, so maybe they'll do it. Hashtag tiny bit of shade. You guys need to expand from screen rides. But I will say that this roller coaster looks super promising. Like, this is definitely not going to be
screen-oriented.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of animatronics and a lot of, like, real things that we're going to see. So that's really great, because
oh my god,
they desperately need to move away from screens.
What if they repurposed Jaws and put it in the lake?
Oh my god.
That'd be awesome.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they put an Easter egg there.
That would be so awesome.
I don't know if that ride,
like, before they took it away, so I was super happy.
Yeah. It was a cool ride. But there is an ode to Jaws. There's two odes to Jaws in Diagon Alley. Next time we go, I'll have to show them to you. But please. They are there.
December.
If anybody knows what they are, comment and tell us what it is, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Okay, is that all for the Weekly Prophet?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm looking at you. Are you looking at me? No, I did not slow that down in editing. That was real time. All right. Last time. Meg, I'm trying to read.
Oh, sorry.
Covering my notes.
I always forget that you're...
Thanks! <didn't> So the scary party is over. All right? Everyone heads back home. Rita Skeeter is causing all sorts of havoc at the ministry, so Mr. Weasley and Percy have to go work extra long shifts. But the kids are ready to go back to school, and will we ever find out if Ron goes Starkers to the ball? I don't know.
Find out next time.
Oh, God.
I wish that he would. What? Are you mad I didn't laugh at you?
No, I'm mad that you keep pulling the headphones out of my ears.
Oh, sorry.
My computer is very hot.
Why are you punching me?
Are we ready to listen to me talk now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm all ears, baby.
Okay. So it's Hogwarts Express Day. Woohoo! It starts as a mad-eye morning, and Arthur leaves to help, and Molly gets a couple of relaxy taxis to take him to the platform. We know the older Weasleys know something, and then we find out that Malfoy also knows something that Harry and friends don't. So Ron gets smashingly mad, and the thunder rolls when they get off the train and say hello to an old friend.
There are so many great things in there.
You're welcome.
That was jam-packed.
People won't get, unless people know, they won't get the relaxy taxi part.
It's a relaxy cab.
Like taxi cab. Well, that is better.
I love it. I love it. I guarantee people get that. They have to. All right. So, there is a definite end of holiday gloom in the air when Harry woke up the next morning. There was heavy rain splattering against windows as he got dressed. And I said, I feel this on a very personal level because of being a teacher and having the summer off. And then August rolls around. Literally at the end of July, you just start to feel things. You're like, oh, this is about to end.
Hey, before you go on, just a random thing I forgot to mention in the last episode, because they're talking about how, like, they're leaving on, like, a Sunday or something. Do you know, isn't that what they said? Hold on. Because September 1st, 1994 was actually a Thursday. So, basically what I'm saying is they aren't leaving on the day that, like, that she said they were.
Joe, what are you
just
doing?
Just a random fun fact. They left on a Thursday.
Those calendars.
Mm-mm-mm. Tricky she's, business.
She's like writing it, and she's like, nobody's gonna look this up.
Yeah, nobody's gonna Sarah O'Malley this.
Yeah, yeah, it was Sunday evening before they returned to Hogwarts, so I don't know. Maybe they did go back on a Thursday, but go on.
Okay. I said Joe does a nice job of reminding us of certain things throughout the early chapters of the books, like how they will get dressed in their Hogwarts robes on the train. Because Harry, he puts on a sweatshirt. Because he's got to go muggle.
He doesn't want a nightdress?
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is not the Quidditch World Cup where you wear a tweed jacket and thigh-high galoshes.
My bad. I got confused with my muggle wear.
Maybe I should dress as that for Halloween next year.
Perfect.
With thigh-high galoshes. All right. So, as Harry heads downstairs, he hears Mrs. Weasley yelling up the stairs for Arthur because there's an urgent message from the ministry. I have a feeling that this kind of thing happens all the time, the yelling up and down the stairs at the Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Weasley is rummaging around through the drawers trying to find a quill for Mr. Weasley to take notes. And I said, why not use Accio?
Yeah, come on, Molly. Wake up.
I feel like would be a really great way for her to like pull that in there because it's so important, you know, later on.
Yeah.
When Harry gets into the kitchen, Mr. Weasley is bending over the fire and he was talking to Amos Diggory, but it was super weird because this is a new wizarding thing. His head was sitting in the middle of the flames and the fire like a large bearded egg. And I said, foreshadowing? An egg?
Oh.
Yeah, you like that?
I like it.
Oh.
I was going to say that that's foreshadowing possibly to the fact that that's how he's going to be able to talk to Sirius as well.
Sirius and Egg. It's like a double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amos is talking really fast, and he's clearly not disturbed about the flames that are surrounding him. And I wanted to read what he says. So he says, Muggle neighbors heard bangs and shouting, so they went and called those, what do you call them? Pleasemen. Got to get over here. It's a real stroke of luck I heard about it, said Mr. Diggory's head. Not Mr. Diggory, just his head. I had to come into the office early to send a couple of owls, and I found the improper use of magic law all setting off. If Rita Skeeter gets a hold of this one, Arthur... And then Mr. Weasley says, what does Mad-Eye say happened? Because we find out, Mad-Eye's got some stuff going down. Ooh. He says he heard an intruder in his yard and says he was creeping towards the house, but he was ambushed by his dustbins.
Moody.
Yeah. I know.
Makes me giggle.
So it says, also, what did the dustbins do, Mr. Weasley? Asked Mr. Weasley, scribbling frantically. Made one hell of a noise and fired rubbish everywhere, as far as I can tell, said Mr. Diggory. Apparently, one of them was still rocketing around when the please man turned up.
I just like picturing the trash can, like, pew, banana peel, pew, McDonald's.
It's like Mario Kart out there, man. People are sliding on banana peels.
Yo, oh, turtle gosh. Shells. Are there turtle shells in there, too?
Turtle shells?
Yeah, you're talking about Mario Kart.
I wasn't.
Tiffany did.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. I am.
Hello, Katie. Welcome.
Hi, Tiffany.
This is Swish and Flick and All Potter podcast.
I'm so glad to be here.
I like that. I'm trying to find where I found this because I wrote it in my notes, but I'm not seeing it in here. Oh, never mind. I got it. So it says, Mr. Weasley says, Mad-Eye didn't use his wand. He didn't actually attack anyone. So I'm like, I find that interesting that Joe points out that he didn't use his wand.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else find that strange?
I just Maybe he wasn't him at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking that, like, maybe that's just showing, like, how powerful whoever that wizard is potentially is. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm. It says, I'll bet he leapt out of bed and started jinxing everything he could reach through the window. But they'll have a job proving it. There aren't any casualties.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting to point out. But, I said, so does that mean that Mad-Eye could use wandless magic?
Props. And
we already kind of talked about that a little bit. I think so,
but I don't, I think at this point he's not Mad-Eye anymore.
And I'm wondering, do you think they use Priori Incantatum to figure out if he uses wand, or do you think that, like, is that why they asked that and they, it was, Barty Crouch Jr. using his wand instead, so it wouldn't have been Mad-Eye's wand.
But Barty Crouch Jr. Or, doesn't have a wand, does he? Because he had to take Harry's.
Oh, that's right. But he could have gotten another one.
True.
Well, why wouldn't he have been using Mad-Eye's if he was pretending to be Mad-Eye?
But he wasn't at this point. This is when he was getting him, right?
I mean, I'm assuming he's now... Like, I think he did all of that. He is now Mad-Eye.
To cover up.
I agree.
Yes.
To cover up the commotion.
Yeah. Because obviously... Mad-Eye won't go down without a fight.
Well, yeah, but that's what I thought the commotion was. I thought that was, like, everything went crazy because they were, like, fighting or whatever.
He was fighting against it.
Yeah. Maybe he was, like, sending everything he could, like, at Barty Crouch, and it just happened to be garbage cans.
I feel like it's a blurred line a little bit. Like, we don't really know... Like, that whole encounter was Barty Crouch Jr. coming in and taking over, but, like, when exactly that happened and the commotion happened, I think, is just kind of, like, blurry.
So it was either, like, that was, like, part of their fight and struggle, or it was... Why would he do that otherwise, though?
Why would Barty Crouch do that?
Yeah, why would he use... Why would he, like, do that if it wasn't, like...
I think that maybe some of it in the beginning possibly was because he was taking over, so then he just, like, amplified it to make it seem like Moody was just, you know, his crazy self, and he just kind of overdo it and, like, get the attention off the fact that, like, maybe something happened. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I still I don't know. I wish I knew. Okay.
Dear Joe.
Yeah, really. So, I wanted to talk about the improper use of magic office just a little bit. They, on the lexicon, actually, like, head this whole section with the quote from Amos Diggory from this book. But if the improper use of magic office get their hands on it, Mad-Eye, he's had it. So, that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, this is perfect. So, it's a division of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement at the Ministry of Magic. They deal with incidences of magic being used improperly, go figure, particularly in cases where muggles are involved. And we know that the offices are located on level 2 of the ministry headquarters because of, I believe, Order of the Phoenix, chapter 7. And the office registers wizards, yes, ding, who can turn themselves into animagi, or animagi, whichever you prefer. It says, Orabella Nutley was the inventor of the mending charm, was a clerk in the office during the 18th century. Dolores Umbridge started as an intern in the office and became its head during her rise through the department. The office sent Harry Potter warning letters when he was using underage magic. That was in Chamber of Secrets and in Order of the Phoenix. And the letters are signed by Mafalda Hopkirk. and she is an assistant, we find. And later Hermione uses Polyjuice Potion to transform herself into Mafalda to get into the ministry. So this is like a super popular office throughout the series.
Yeah, definitely.
It was the subject of an inquiry when the employee Rufus Fudge caused a Muggle underground train to disappear in London.
Ooh.
I want to see what that's from. Amos Diggory lets Arthur know about the squad that is on their way to Mad-Eye's. Mrs. Weasley worries that her sons Fred and George will run afoul in this office if they keep getting into trouble. So, it has a lot of mentions. This is interesting. So, it's the one with the Muggle tube train is from something called Inquiry at the Improper Use of Magic Office. What is this from? Do you guys click the link?
Is it like a Pottermore article?
I don't know. It says February 8th, 1999, The Daily Prophet. The disappearance of a Muggle tube train led to the suspension of a Ministry of Magic employee.
Oh, didn't Joe used to share a Daily Prophet clipping every now and then on our old website?
This must have been that. It says, the unnamed Daily Prophet reporter revealed that the offender was the minister's nephew, Rufus Fudge, who did it for a bet. The Muggles did not notice that the train had gone missing.
Yeah, it says, J.K. Rowling released this on February 8th, 1999.
Pretty sure she used to, yeah, just like, that's how she that one episode.
Release, yeah.
That one episode I mentioned, like, some goblin rebellion or something.
Yeah, and it was like a featured thing on her website.
Yeah.
Okay, like, get she used back to do that, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
That was awesome.
That kind of stuff is cool. Mm-hmm. And canon.
Yep.
Accurate. All
right. So, to round out my section this week, it says, now that Arthur had all the information he needed, it was time to go sort out the mess with Mad-Eye before Skeeter could get the story, and so Mad-Eye could start his new job.
I wonder where that is.
Dunno.
All right, so after Arthur leaves, they start to have a conversation at the breakfast table, and this is with, like, Bill and Charlie, mostly. Bill, Charlie, Percy, Mrs. Weasley. And they're talking about Mad-Eye. And I think it's Mrs. Weasley says that Arthur, not is fond of him. What's the right word? Oh, your father thinks very highly of Mad-Eye Moody, says Mrs. Weasley. Because George calls him a nutter. and I just wanted to, read the little... okay, well, I'm going to read a little bit for it, too, because it's funny. So it says, your father thinks very highly of Mad-Eye Moody, said Mrs. Weasley sternly. Yeah, well, Dad collects plugs, doesn't he? Said Fred quietly as Mrs. Weasley left the room, birds of a feather. Moody was a great wizard in his time, said Bill. He's an old friend of Dumbledore's, isn't he? Said Charlie. Dumbledore's not what you'd call normal, though, is he? Said Fred. I mean, I know he's a genius and everything. Who is Mad-Eye? Asked Harry. He's retired, used to work at the ministry, said Charlie. I met him once when Dad took me in to work with him. He was an Auror, one of the best, a dark wizard catcher, he added, seeing Harry's blank look. So this is the beginnings of Harry wanting to be an Auror, potentially. Or at least discovering what it is. Right. Half the cells in Azkaban are full because of him. He made himself loads of enemies, though, the families of people he caught mainly, and I heard he's been getting really paranoid in his old age. Doesn't trust anyone anymore. Sees dark wizards everywhere. So that is our first little intro to Alistair Moody. And I figured we've never done a fact file on him yet, since this is the very beginnings. So, Pottermore does have a fact file on him. It's pretty short, but it says, both of his parents were Aurors. So that's pretty cool, because clearly it's like, you know, runs in the family.
Yeah.
He is a highly accomplished Auror and an outstanding duelist, also skilled in nonverbal magic. So, and he did.
Well, there you go. Nonverbal. Yeah.
And he did die on the 27th of July, 1997. Pour one out for Moody.
Yes.
So also the lexicon has not a whole lot more, but a little bit more. So, his I like the descriptions of his features. What?
The wand description. I'm sure you'll get to it.
Oh. So he has grizzled dark gray hair. I just love how, like, it's just grizzled. Very, yeah, it's particular how he's described. His eyes, one normal, one magical, vivid blue, moves independently, can see invisible things and through solid objects, including the back of his head.
Weird.
Some distinguishing features, he's missing a leg.
A what?
A leg. Leg.
A leg.
A leg.
Scarred.
I like legs.
Scarred from many battles with dark wizards, has a magical eye, like I said, and a large chunk is missing from his nose from a battle with the Death Eater, Rosier. Oof.
Yeah.
We know that name, even from Fantastic Beasts now. Mm-hmm. So.
They found that out in the Pensieve, correct?
Yeah. Also, his wand is not stored in his back pocket, is what it says.
Just fire off a buttock. Maybe that's really how he lost a chunk of his nose.
Maybe.
So, Alistair Moody is considered one of the best dark wizard catchers the Ministry has ever had. He came on staff for a year at Hogwarts, but spent it at the bottom of a magical trunk, unbeknownst to anyone but the imposter who put him there. Moody is a member of the Order of the Phoenix. His favorite expression was constant vigilance. He's noted for his paranoia, particularly in regard to food and drink, which is why he only drinks from his own flask, which is why Crouch was able to get away with drinking Polyjuice Potion for a whole year. It didn't seem suspicious.
You're, like, ruining this book for everyone.
I'm sorry, guys. You should have read it by now. He's also very fond, as we know, of wand safety, and this last may be related to his own missing leg, but that is mere speculation. Maybe that's why he doesn't keep his wand in his back pocket. Maybe. He lost
What if
his
he
leg.
Had it? What? Ooh, what if he had it? You know, Katie, how you had, like, your wand holster?
Yeah.
What if he had one that was, like, attached to his leg and it blew his leg off?
Possibly.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just saying.
He takes command of any operation he's associated with. He's brusque and efficient and anticipates the moves of the Death Eaters. He also organized the rescue of Harry Potter from Privet Drive for the last time at the end of July in 1997, but was killed in the ensuing battle thanks to good-for-nothing Mundungus Fletcher. And his body was never required. However, Harry Potter...
He didn't require, a body.
His body was never recovered. However, Harry did discover his magical eye affixed to none other than Dolores Umbridge's office door at the Ministry and took it. And he buried the eye under a tree in a nameless forest in Deathly Hallows.
So the Death Eaters found him, for sure. His body, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking of how Voldemort treated Harry's body. Jeez, body when he thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he threw it around with Cruciatus Curse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me really sad and angry to wonder, you know, what exactly they did with his body. Because it couldn't have been nice. Nothing could have. They probably took his eye and then, you know, Lord knows what.
Nagini.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm guessing it's Nagini. He was another victim to her. Because that seemed to be Voldemort's go-to to get rid of evidence.
I mean, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
They are pigs. Pigs will eat anything.
Yeah. Sarah!
I'm just being honest.
They literally do.
Pigwidgeon wouldn't eat Mad-Eye.
Okay,
so I thought that this was very brave of Mrs. Weasley, what I'm about to tell you all next. She had to walk to the village just to use a telephone to call taxis.
A felitone.
I thought that was very brave. Especially coming from somebody. Phones. For real. Why don't they have a phone? They can have a phone. Just don't use magic when you need to use it. Know what I'm saying?
They do have a phone because Ron called.
I don't think that. I think that Arthur, like, had one in his shed or something and, like, hooked it up, maybe.
I know, didn't but why? He?
I don't know. I'm making that up. It sounded good.
You're completely making that up.
Yeah, but it sounded like it could be legit.
God.
All right. So the drivers came and were visibly annoyed at the huge, heavy trunks and loud owls because clearly they are not used to transporting screechy owls or a cat that literally wanted to scratch everyone to death because one of Fred and George's filibuster fireworks went off while they were loading the car. So that was fun. Yes.
Do you think they have to modify, like, taxi drivers' memories, like, at this time every single year because of these wild things that I'm sure, like, happen? Like, I'm sure there's been worse to happen than a firework going off in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean.
I had my Sims light a firework off inside the house, and it didn't end well.
Did your house burn down?
Oh my gosh.
No, but my person is no longer with us.
Oh my god.
Sarah, you used to play Sims all the time, didn't you?
Yeah, but I never put off fireworks, but yeah, I had Sims die in other ways.
Sarah, okay.
Take the ladder out of the pool.
That's the worst.
No, the one time I invited this old man to live with my family, and then I didn't like that he was around all the time, so I built a room around him, and he starved to death. And then his ghost haunted the house.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Things that only happen in The Sims.
Tiffany, didn't you play?
I played, like, back in the day when the cheat code was, like, Rosebud.
Oh,
that's
my God,
I played.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could just, like, have
I've ever
money.
Played. You could still, there's still, wow, still cheat codes for all that stuff, but it's not Rosebud anymore, I don't think.
Man.
But, yeah, I love, I mean, I literally just found my Sims for my old computer, and I was like, no, you can't play, Sarah. Don't play. Because it takes up hours.
You invited the magic old guy one. And then got, like, annoyed with it.
I love the magic one. Did you guys have the magic one?
Do you want to hear something super embarrassing that I once made a family from Harry Potter?
I think I did, too. Yes, I did have the magic, but I liked the pets.
They were not redhead.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. So, they get to platform 9 3/4, and I thought that, so, like, I feel like every time we think about anybody going onto the platform, we always just picture, like, Harry's first time where they, like, ran at the wall. So I thought that it was cool that they did it a little bit different this time. I was gonna read it. So it says, Harry was used to getting onto platform 9 3/4 by now. It was a simple matter of walking straight through the apparently solid barrier dividing platforms 9 and 10. The only tricky part was doing this in an unobtrusive way so as to avoid attracting Muggle attention. They did it in groups today, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, the most conspicuous since they were accompanied by Pigwidgeon and Crookshanks, went first. They leaned casually against the barrier, chatting unconcernedly, and slid sideways through it. And as they did so, platform 9 3/4 materialized in front of them. So I just thought that was cool.
That reminds me of Tina in... Friends of Grindelwald, how she, like, gets into the Parisian.
Magical street in France.
Is that a statue or is it a wall?
It's a statue.
It's a statue.
Well, it's actually, like, a magical dimension.
Whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
When's that coming out? Isn't it coming out digitally, like, super soon? Is that tomorrow?
Is it tomorrow?
Is it the 16th or...
I don't know,
but I need to buy it.
Take to the internet. I need to evaluate that until it's in smithereens.
I know. I want to watch it so many times. So, Charlie and Bill had come along to say goodbye to them, and Charlie said that he would be seeing them sooner than they thought. Did anybody, when they were reading this, like, make any connection at all? Like, ooh, Charlie's going to be there? Dragons? No? Was that a long stretch?
I was thinking, ooh, the hot guy's coming back.
Ed Sheeran's putting on a show.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I found it. It's coming out the 15th.
Oh, I just typed it in.
So what is Friday. The date? Okay, Friday.
Oh, mine showed, like, November 16th, 2018. No, when does it come out on DVD?
Well, did you write DVD?
No.
Well.
So, the digital comes out this Friday, the 15th.
So, when you're listening to this, it'll be out.
Comes out on March 12th.
Sweet.
Why do they do that, by the way?
I read, though, that the digital copy is the only copy in the U.S. that's coming with the extended edition.
Well, I'll have both, then.
I know. That's so dumb, though. They do that so that you have to buy both.
Of course.
I mean, you don't have to do anything.
Well, we have as a podcaster, to. We have to.
I don't own the first Fantastic Beasts. That I don't even know blasphemous. If I own all the movies anymore.
Blasphemy. You loaned them, and someone took them.
Yeah, I've never seen them again, which, honestly, it's fine. I don't watch them terribly often.
I don't do that with any of my Harry Potter stuff anymore. Nobody is allowed to touch it.
I'm going to touch it.
No, you're not.
That's what she said.
Alrighty, then.
So,
love the office.
Nobody made the connection to dragons. I didn't. I just wondered if you guys did.
Nope.
And then Bill also says that he wishes he was back at Hogwarts this year. You're going to have an interesting year. I might even get time off to come and watch a bit of it.
Movie night!
And then Mrs. Weasley tells them that they'll want to stay at Hogwarts for Christmas. What's going on? Why won't anybody tell these poor children what the heck is going on? Honestly, like, why didn't they just tell them?
It would ruin the surprise.
Yeah. I would have told them.
Gosh, you're such a surprise rude.
I feel like my parents would have just told me.
Yeah.
My mom would literally be like, I know something you don't.
Yes.
My mom would have started that way, but then I would have annoyed her so much she would have told me.
God, Meg, you would have been insufferable. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is.
Or, no, you know what would have happened? My mom and dad probably wouldn't have read, like, a letter would have come home and they wouldn't have read it. So they're like, oh, yeah. You know, no. Found out together.
That's funny.
And then she also suggests that they'll probably find out this evening and that she's glad they changed the rules.
Whoa.
Fred and George are very intrigued and very annoyed that they will not tell them.
So here's my question. Well, I guess we can get to it later on. Because, like, if they change the rules, why is Malfoy like, you're going to enter? You know what I mean?
Because he likes because to see Harry fail.
Because he's an idiot. And he's that's probably going to try and come up with some way to enter.
Because he just likes to rile up Harry.
Because he's just a bleep.
You guys, someone, I know we're not to it yet, but I have to look this up on the Twitter, because someone posted something that, like, had me in my feels about Fred and George. So, carry on, and I'll tell you what it is, because it was too freaking soon. Oh, I found it already. Okay. Oh, this is our friends at Hogwarts Radio. They tweeted a picture of Fred and George with their white hair and beards and said, at least they got to grow old together once.
Oh my god, stop.
That's
it.
That's not okay.
It was...
Terrence, what are you doing? No.
I was like, it is life.
That's awful.
It's because Fred's dead, that's why.
Oh, Sarah!
Sad tweet.
Drop dead Fred. That's a movie. That's a movie! Hey, it's a movie.
I've seen the movie.
Wait, what'd you say, Katie? I missed it.
Drop dead Fred.
I was just talking about a movie. Still, why are you guys getting all riled up?
Okay, Sarah's rubbing off on you with this behavior.
Isn't Drop Dead Fred, doesn't he have red hair?
Yeah, he does.
We haven't mentioned Cedric in a while, so now it's Fred's turn, huh?
Yeah.
In Fred's defense, I like him better than Cedric.
Same. Oh my god! What's happening?
Well, I'm just saying, like, whenever someone's like, who would you bring back? 1000% I would bring back Fred.
I would bring back Cedric. Like, sorry.
Ooh, I didn't say that.
I meant out of, like, all those options. Like, I would never pick Cedric from that from all those options.
She'll bring back all these people, well, okay, but not
guys,
Cedric.
No, listen. Look at what happened when Cedric lived. Read Cursed Child. No bueno. You don't want Cedric alive. He becomes a Death Eater. He does.
Throw that at me.
It's true.
I don't remember hardly anything, and I'm not going to read it again before we see it next week. So
Hufflepuff gone Death Eater. Cedric Diggory.
It's really an anagram for Katie. She's really Cedric and a Death Eater.
Watch out.
Well, all right. I'll try. I make no promises.
Okay.
All right. I don't know why I sound insane when she's like, all right. Everything, like, goes up.
When she says.
I'm not Florence.
It's either that or you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I think it depends on, like, how Florence is feeling, you know?
So she's excited if it goes up.
Isn't everyone?
Yes.
I hate myself.
All right. Are you ready? You
I'm can't ready.
Laugh. Okay. You can't laugh at me because you know what? I'm not a clown. I'm not some monkey in a cage. You don't laugh at me. All right.
All right.
And now you got me saying, like, you know, every time you begin, you were like, you always say, all right, so. And now I have that in my head that I say that every time I start a thing.
Be yourself.
You do you.
I don't know if Florence can do it.
Or rather, Florence do Florence.
All right.
Flow do flow.
Flow do flow.
Attention, dear swishers. Adventure is out there. Why settle for ordinary chain store coffee when you can have an adventure in every cup with Expedition Roasters, artisanal roasters of pop culture coffees. Now you can experience a little theme park magic every day at your home. Each themed bag features custom artwork by guest artists that make it perfect for displaying in your kitchen or office, or wherever your little heart desires. Try one of our premium wizarding roasts like Book Spot, Blueberry, Charming Chocolate Cherry, Cunning Caramel Crunch, or Big-Hearted Butterscotch. All our coffees are certified gluten and allergen free. So start your coffee adventure today at expeditionroasters.com and use coupon code SWISHFLICK15 to save 15% off your first purchase. Brew your happy place. And if you buy some coffee, tag us so we can see your lovely pictures. Yes.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. Love it.
I can't follow that. Okay.
I know, right?
That's Meg. Correct, because Florence is the best.
You need to birth your own character somewhere in your brain.
No.
It's not. I agree. No. You can't. Not when Florence is in the house. No one can.
You can be Harriet.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Harriet. He doesn't like books, so let them read them to her, because she's too lazy. That's why she uses a lot of...
I'm sorry, maybe Harriet should do the audible one.
No, I feel kind of bad. Like, I don't want these people to think I'm making fun of their products, you know? Like, I genuinely
think about Bill Burr.
Good.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible's offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. So just go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast. It's exactly like our Twitter name and like our Instagram name, so it's super easy for you guys to remember.
Or our website.
Website. So you can go on to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title for free, and start listening. It's really that easy. So again, just head on over to audible.com/swishflickcast to get started. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. You can also get all 7 of the Harry Potter books, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, narrated by our own Eddie Redmayne, Quidditch Through the Ages, narrated by Andrew Lincoln, a.k.a. Rick Grimes.
Rick Grimes! Coral!
History of Magic, which is narrated by that girl from Game of Thrones, Natalie Dormer.
Okay. Oh my god.
And a behind-the-scenes audiobook of Crimes of Grindelwald, narrated by our own Dan Fogler. So I listen to the Harry Potter books on Audible on my long drives to and from work almost every single day. So when you sign up, again, you get 1 audiobook for free. You can pick whatever book you'd like, including any of the Harry Potter books that I listed before this. So last time... Download your free audiobook. Go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast.
Good job.
That was much better than last time.
Well done.
Okay. And on to the yellow.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so. Kids are on the train. Ron's annoyed at Pig, as per usual, and covers his cage with his dress ropes.
Poor thing.
Yeah, to muffle his hooting. The poor little thing. But I guess that's like how birds go to sleep, right? So it really, is. Like, you just make him take a nap.
True.
Yes.
My grandma had a bird she rescued, and his name was Peachy, and she put a sheet over his cage at night.
That's so cute.
Guys, I have to admit something. I really hate birds.
It's okay.
I don't like monkeys.
I don't like them. Yeah, I don't like monkeys either.
What?
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. But Continue. Okay. I think that I could like Hedwig. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. Owls are different.
Owls are different. They're cooler.
Well, they're birds. Like, so... Yeah, but they're not. They are kind of freaky. Have you ever seen an owl like in the wild? Like,
yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, they're enormous.
They're huge.
It freaked me out. I was going to work one morning. I was like, "There's two owls in my tree," which never ever happens.
They don't look real. So rare. I saw one when I worked at Disney in Frontierland. It was just sitting on the perch while I was pushing a stroller around to like put it away, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's right there." Yep.
I saw one at Disney too. That's funny.
Yup.
They just want to have fun. God,
I know. He just wanted to ride Splash Mountain. I mean,
yeah, birds. They want to have fun.
I think
they also don't care if you're naked.
Mickey Mouse.
True.
All right. So Ron starts to speculate about what could possibly be happening at Hogwarts this year, because Meg, I'm reading. Quit clicking away from the window.
I'm sorry.
So, Hermione shushes him, though, because she can hear Malfoy in the hallway. So, here's our boy. Father actually considered sending me to Durmstrang rather than Hogwarts, you know. He knows the headmaster, you see. Well, you know his opinion of Dumbledore. The man's such a mudblood lover. And Durmstrang doesn't admit that sort of riffraff. But Mother didn't like the idea of me going to school so far away. Father says Durmstrang takes a far more sensible line than Hogwarts about the dark arts. Durmstrang students actually learn them, not just the defense rubbish we do. Really, he wanted to go to pig farts, but whatever. So Herm shuts the door to block him out, saying she wishes he had gone to Durmstrang, because then they wouldn't have to put up with him.
True.
Gotta say, though, there, shout out to Narcissa, because, like, I wonder if there was actually an underlying thing there that she really did want him to go to Hogwarts, because I have a little bit of faith in Narcissa at times, so... Maybe there was more there than just him going far away.
Yeah.
I think she could have been a completely different person had she not married Lucius.
I agree.
Yeah.
So Harry is learning a lot about all these new schools, as we are. So he's like, Durmstrang, is that another wizarding school? And yes.
This seems to be like a huge, obviously, this is a huge theme in this book. Mm-hmm. Because if you go back to the Quidditch World Cup, we also hear them talk about a handful of different schools. Well, we hear Beauxbatons for the mm-hmm. first time. And then we also see those witches from like the Salem Witches Institute. So like, I know that's different than a school. But again, like you're still seeing all these different cultures of witches and wizards, which is really cool.
Yeah, just witches.
Just witches, because women are bomb.
I was going to say witches all get witch stitches, podcast. But that's not nice. We are.
Yeah, we are.
So Hermione's like, yeah, it is. It has a horrible reputation, though. It puts a lot of emphasis on the dark arts. And Ron says he thinks he's heard of it before, but where is it? Like, what country is it in? And Hermione has one of her moments where she's like, am I the only one who bothers to read anything? And is like, well, nobody knows, do they? And Harry's like, why? So we start learning about how it's pretty traditional for schools to conceal themselves. So there's like a rivalry between all of the magical schools. So Durmstrang and Beauxbatons like to conceal so nobody can steal their secrets. And Ron's like, come off it. Durmstrang has to be as big as Hogwarts. Like, how do you hide a great big castle? And Hermione's like, well, Hogwarts is hidden. So, and then, quote, everyone knows that. Well, everyone who's read Hogwarts a history anyway. And Ron says, just you then. but then he's like, well, go on. How do you hide a giant castle like Hogwarts? So this is where we learn Hogwarts is bewitched. So if a muggle were to look at it, all they would see is a moldering old ruin with a sign over the entrance saying, danger! Do not enter. Unsafe. And, fun fact, in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, spoiler alert, here it comes if you haven't seen it, but, you know, when they all go to Hogwarts at the end, like, the whole crew, Jacob is there as well.
Nagini.
Right? If you look at the shot of them all on the bridge before Newt goes to meet Dumbledore, Jacob's kind of looking around, like, kind of confused. So I wonder if he can't see it. If all he sees is this dilapidated building and is like, what are we doing here? Yes.
I gotta say, I really hate that theory. I mean, I'm like, no offense to you.
I didn't come up with that.
No, I know. I just think that, like, I think that he's just kind of overwhelmed in general about all the information he's taking in. But, like, they're literally standing on the bridge in front of Hogwarts. I feel like he sees it.
I don't know.
It's a good.
I want him to, but I don't know.
You don't think he does, Tiffany? No. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Muggles, they don't notice nothing, do they?
They don't see nothing.
Jacob's not just a normal muggle, though.
No, but he is a muggle.
But, I mean, he is.
Still a muggle.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, Hermione's parents got into Diagon Alley. They could see all of that. They got past
that
it.
That doesn't have but that's magical...
not hidden in there. Once you're in there, it's not hidden.
It's known for...
But, like, I feel like he's, like, in Hogwarts grounds. You know what I mean? That's why I'm kind of, like...
Maybe to him, they're maybe just if in this there was giant
like,
ruin.
If they were, like, off, like, on the other side of the lake or something, he could see it. I don't know. I'm just not convinced that he doesn't see it.
Let me call my buddy Joe, and I'll settle this.
Okay, let me know.
All right.
Let me know, Joe.
Ooh, a new one. Dear Joe, let me know.
Oh, my gosh.
So Hermione is still speculating, and she says Durmstrang could maybe be similar, like Hogwarts, with some sort of, you know, they don't see the actual thing. Or maybe it has muggle repelling charms like the World Cup. And she continues on, so to keep foreign wizards from finding it, they'll have made it unplottable. And Ron's like, excuse me, what? Which, I don't know how he's never heard that before because he's like way more...
He's Ron.
But yeah, he's Ron, so whatever. But as Hermione explains it, you can enchant a building so that it's impossible to plot on a map. So this is early foreshadowing for Grimmauld Place.
Yeah.
Which I had never thought of before.
Yeah.
So she speculates that Durmstrang must be somewhere far north because it has to be somewhere cold because part of their uniform is fur capes.
No capes.
I was going to say that, but I couldn't think of a good connection.
I just watched the second movie. It was so cute.
Me too. We watched it again. It's so good.
It's on Netflix, y'all. Go watch Incredibles 2.
So good. And then Ron, think of the possibilities, said Ron dreamily. It would have been so easy to push Malfoy off a glacier and make it look like an accident. Shame his mother likes him.
Shame his mother likes him. I love that. He's so good in this book.
I know.
He's witty.
His one-liners are killing me. I love it.
All right. Tiffany.
All right.
So, as the train is heading north, the rain gets heavier and heavier. And it literally says in the book, the sky was so dark and the windows so steamy that the lanterns were lit by midday. Woof in my eyes. So I said, foreshadowing much? With how much darker this book gets and some sadness as well at the end, you know? And then I won't read what I wrote.
I find this, that you said that, exceptionally interesting about... the foreshadowing with how much darker, and I want you to look at my my notes for the next episode. That's crazy. Okay.
So, a lot of their friends come to visit them in the afternoon, so there's Seamus Finnegan, Dean Thomas, and Neville Longbottom, and I said it's a good way for Joe to kind of remind us who some of their fellow Gryffindors are, which she doesn't tell us more about the ladies, excuse me, Joe, but whatever. So she describes Neville as a forgetful boy who was raised by his grandmother. And then I was like, oh, look, I wonder if that's some more foreshadowing as well. Because his parents, who basically had their brains scrambled by those pesky Death Eaters. And we learn about who was involved with this at the end of this book. Sadness, you know. And then I also find it interesting. She really doesn't describe the other two boys. So she really just talks about Neville.
He's the only important one.
Oh, I like Seamus and Dean.
I like Dean. They make I'm a not cute really. Couple.
Seamus bothers me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Seamus, but I like Dean.
They grow up.
They're okay.
He's hot.
Dean is very hot. Shout out to Malfoy.
Is he on the wall of hotness?
Wall of hotness.
He should be.
Oh, was he? I don't know if he ever was, but he would be now.
He makes it to the wall.
Yeah.
Guys,
let's recreate that.
Go watch
Getting Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder, because...
Getting Away with Murder.
Alfie Enoch. Yep.
All right. So, anyways, back to the book. So Seamus still has his magical rosette from the game, but now it's only squeaking Troy Mullet Moran, which I think is hysterical. And soon Hermione grew bored of all the sports talk, so she starts practicing a summoning charm, which I was like, ooh, this will also be important later, because then she tries to help Harry master it before his first task. So there are tons of foreshadowing, in my mind, in this section of the book, of the chapter. So Neville's, like, sad that he couldn't go to the game. He said his grandma didn't want to go, or his gran. But, I mean, I don't think they could get tickets anyways. So then Ron shows him Crumb and tells them how they got to see Crumb and all the players up close and personal in the top box.
Katie scared me. He's like, Crumb!
Every time someone reads Crumb, Katie's automatically like, Crumb! Crumb!
I have to.
This is what makes me, like, when I joke about writing the book, Reasons Why I'm Fat, because when you say Crumb, I immediately think of a cake.
Oh, I think of cookies.
I think of muffins.
I think of mac. I'm glad I'm not the only person that thinks of food.
Crumbs? A glass muffin. Ouch. It's a glass muffin.
I think of cupcakes.
Jawa's muffin.
Blueberry. Strawberry.
Paper clip. Oh, sorry, guys.
Post the link to that video.
Oh, my gosh. That video is hilarious. So
then they can all be in on why we're insane.
I'm sure there's people that know what it is, too.
I'm sure there are.
Sure. All right. So Malfoy then decides that he needs to butt in when he really shouldn't, just butt out of our lives. So he responds So see your way out. So he responds with a snarky, for the first and last time in your life, Weasley.
Ugh.
So Malfoy and his overgrown child bodyguards overhear the conversation from the open door that Seamus and Dean left open, the numbskulls. So then Malfoy then has to comment on that thing. So he sees a sleeve of Ron's dress robes that are hanging from the owl's cage. Mm. And you can clearly see the moldy lace cuff. And so Ron tries to shove the robes away, but Malfoy is too quick because, you know, he's a seeker. And he pulls out the entire garment and then proceeds to make fun of it, saying it was fashionable in 1990-something, because he gets cut off. So then Malfoy, like, is taunting him, asking him if he's going to enter, bring some glory to his family name, and if he wins, because there's money involved, he could buy some decent robes. So Ron's, like, annoyed, because he's like, what are you talking about? And Malfoy's, like, asks Harry, are you going to enter? Like, oh, he asks Ron again, and it makes me think of, like, you know when you're trying, like, having a conversation with someone and they don't get it, or they aren't listening or something, so you have to repeat yourself, so he's like, are you going to enter, is in my mind how he says it.
I like that a lot, actually.
And so then he, like, guesses Harry will, because he never misses a chance to show off. So then Hermione's, like, over it, so she's like, okay, dude, either explain yourself or get out. So I'm going to read from the book, and it says, a gleeful smile spread across Malfoy's pale face. Just punch him already. Punch him again. That's not my book. That's my own edited version. Don't tell me you don't know, he said delightedly. You've got a father and brother at the ministry, and you don't even know? My God, my father told me about it ages ago. Heard it from Cornelius Fudge. But then, father's always associated with the top people at the ministry. Maybe your father's too junior to know about it, Weasley.
Junior.
Yes. They probably don't talk about important stuff in front of him.
Junior!
Junior!
So basically, he's like laughing, so him and his little cronies leave. And Ron is so fired up, because he slams the compartment door shut with such force that the glass shatters.
Jeez. That's some moosel.
Hulking out.
Yes.
So Hermione repairs the door, and Ron is so mad about Malfoy. And it, like, he's kind of not talking to himself, but kind of. And he's like, he says his dad could have gotten a promotion anytime. But he likes where he's working. And Hermione tries to calm him down and tells him, like, don't let Malfoy get to him. And Ron, of course, is like, him, get to me, as if.
That is such a Cher moment.
So then he picks up the cauldron. He picks up one of the cauldron cakes that, like, Harry had bought for them earlier, and he smashes it into a pulp. And I said, it shows you how upset Ron is. He's willing to smash food and not eat it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Ron should be a Hufflepuff.
I mean, I could see it.
Probably almost was. And then the hat's like, oh, you're going to, like, help save the Wizarding World. I was like, oh, okay,
Gryffindor. Well, excuse me.
We've talked about how each of them are, like, their second house is, like, one of, like, you know, Harry's is Slytherin, Hermione's is Ravenclaw. He's for sure Hufflepuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So Ron's bad mood casted a shadow, like, on the rest of their trip, so they didn't really talk much. And when they arrived at the stop, they gathered all their stuff. Hermione shoved Crookshanks in her jacket. Ron covered Pig again because it was downpour when they got up there. It said the rain was so thick and fast, it was like buckets of ice water were being emptied on their heads repeatedly.
No thanks.
It's like Cleveland today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was so rainy.
And so then Harry sees Hagrid before they start on their way to Hogwarts, and he kind of, like, yells at him, hello. And Hagrid's like, I'll see you at the castle if we don't drown on our way there. And I was like, what a bad way to get... I mean, I guess it's going to be a bad year anyway, spoiler. At least it's going to end bad, but...
They're all not that
that's
great.
That's a rough first bit of even... Like, you don't even get to see a clear picture of Hogwarts, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like, they get, you know, it's just sad. So then Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Neville climb into one of the 100 horseless carriages, and they're very grateful that they don't have to ride in a boat in this weather. And I circled in my notes, horseless.
Yes.
That's like, lies.
I mean, but look at these little tidbits. I love it.
I feel like there's a lot in my little section, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There was. I loved it.
Yeah.
Things be crazy.
They are. All right. Well, that is the end of that chapter. It was kind of short and sweet, a little segue chapter. So let's go ahead and get into some lightning bolt round.
I like that.
You're welcome.
That's perfect because it's a very rainy episode and it's a rainy day out today.
Tis. Yes. I'm asking people for questions. Yeah. Send them to us.
I asked on Instagram too, so we can have these for the next time we record too, some of them.
One person
asks, do you think any characters were sorted wrongly? Like Percy could be in Ravenclaw, which I thought was a good question because we were just talking about Harry, Ron, and Hermione being in other houses.
So what's another character we could figure out that we know well enough? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, if he asked the Sorting Hat, he'd be like, nah, bro, I stand by what I said.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, like, I have faith in the Sorting Hat. I feel like it's really difficult because, like, we could argue all day that some people have these traits, but, like, we don't really necessarily know what those people value. And that's really what the Sorting Hat bases it off of. So, like, you know, Hermione, clearly she's book smart. She is very intelligent. She's wise. Clearly a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Contestant for Ravenclaw.
Contender.
Contender, there we go. She's clearly a good contender.
Her body's not recording.
For Ravenclaw. But she values bravery, and that's why she was placed in Gryffindor. So, I don't know. I have a hard time with that question.
I mean, and you have to think about how related the houses are in general. You know what I mean? Like, because you could probably take any one of the Gryffindors we know, and based on their loyalty, sort them into Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Everybody has a little bit of each house in them. It's just what they value the most and what's most prominent. Yeah.
Who in Discord just stole that question out of my head? Oh, what? Okay. So Jess in Discord says, would you have smashed your cauldron cake in edible pulp? What would you have done instead to vent your frustration? I was going to ask you, which food would you smash up if you were mad? That's funny.
First of all, any food I would smash, I would still eat. It would not be inedible.
Birdie Bot's every flavor beans.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
Because you could get vomit. I would probably throw Birdie Bots at Malfoy and then just leave them.
No, I'm just saying. If I smash,
Casey, whatever.
I don't know if I would smash. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, when I've been angry. I wouldn't. I would probably just throw something. So maybe I'd throw the cauldron cake at the now newly repaired door,
yeah.
It splats on the window and slowly slides down.
Would you enter the tournament?
Nope.
No.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Gryffindor.
I like a little bit of competition.
I should say this. I probably would, but knowing I wouldn't get picked because, like, there's far better choices for me to get picked.
I think I'd pick you any day of the week, baby.
You and Florence would totally just tag take team it down,
me.
Man.
Tag team the tournament.
So, did you guys see, and I don't know if I saw this or if this is canon or whatever, or if someone on Facebook put this, that they think that they chose, like, they didn't get when the cup chose the victors from the other places, like Cedric and Crum and Fleur, that they didn't actually pick, like, the best people that entered. They picked the ones who they knew, like, that essentially saying that Barty Crouch Jr. had it rigged so Harry would win no matter what. So they picked players that weren't going to do well.
Because I was going to say, I always kind of, like, thought Katie Bell probably should have been the Hogwarts champion, you know?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Like,
was it
no
Katie Bell or
Fleur,
Angelina?
Wasn't
it was Katie Bell.
Great. Angelina enters.
Okay, yeah, that's Angelina. Who I'm thinking. I was thinking, I always thought that it should have been Angelina for Hogwarts. Sorry,
like,
Hufflepuffs.
Like, Fleur doesn't finish anything, really, does she? No. Well, she finishes the first task, but gets last, you know?
Yeah.
Just an interesting thought.
Yeah, I don't know about her. I don't know. I guess we really don't know because we don't know any of the other students at those schools.
Yeah.
Crumb, I could see.
Crumb.
I can't stand.
if you couldn't attend Hogwarts, what other wizarding school would you go to? I would want to go to Ilvermorny, honestly.
I would probably go to Ilvermorny, but I wouldn't mind going to Beauxbatons.
Yeah.
Hogwarts or nothing.
Hogwarts or bust.
That's like, right. I couldn't go to the one in, like, Rio or wherever because my hair can't handle all that humidity, and it's hot.
Super humid.
Which one? Where is Ouagadougou?
Africa,
No, Africa.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Africa.
I just like that.
I don't know. Probably Ilvermorny, because I can't speak another language.
Right.
Would you rather visit Durmstrang or Beauxbatons?
Beauxbatons.
Yeah, same.
Although...
I don't want the ice.
Yes.
I don't mind the ice, but there probably would be some decent-looking men.
True.
I think there would be some decent food.
However, Beauxbatons is not supposed to be an all-girls school. That's a movie-ism. So, like, you could also meet some nice French guys.
Yeah, but, like, have you thought about that? Here's the thing, though. Have you seen what the guy, what he looks like now, the guy that played Victor Crumb?
Oh, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is the wall of hotness. It's just him. You know what I mean?
He's very nice to look at.
Yeah. Wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers.
Oh. All right.
Well, that would create crumbs.
Oh! My God!
Get out.
Speaking of crumbs.
That was the craziest thing.
Are you choking, Tiffany?
Okay, speaking of crumbs, would it be equally as traumatizing for you to smash a chocolate frog as it would be for to smash a real frog since they're charmed to act like a real frog?
No, I think I would enjoy smashing a chocolate frog if I'm being honest.
No feelings attached, because it's not actually alive.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's kind of like how killing someone in The Sims, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Building a wall around them and making them starve.
I just didn't want him there anymore, and I don't think you can kick someone out once you ask them to move in. He was always hanging around. He was old. He just needed to go.
What else is he going to do?
I don't know. Go get a job. I have not so much a question, but Isaiah said, like, earlier, that he kind of agrees with the notion of learning dark arts versus just defending against it. I just want to know what you guys feel about that.
I feel like it's a fine line. Like, you need to be taught both, maybe? I think I think you would need to be taught both so that you can understand what you're defending against.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like
that. I'd like to be, like, an advanced course.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be seventh year stuff when you're actually learning it.
Yeah. Well, I like with this one and Mad-Eye, how he puts them under the Imperius curse. Like,
yes.
Because, again, like, that fine line, like, you're not gonna necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? You're gonna have to face it, you're gonna have to see it, not just So you're going to have to know how it actually is in practice. Because, like,
right.
there's one thing to be learning from a book, but actually doing it hands-on and seeing it like that is completely different.
Yeah, and I think that, like, how would anybody know what it feels like to be put under the Imperius Curse and to know when you're supposed to fight like that?
Yes.
Unless you've, you know, been placed under it before in a safe environment. I mean,
yeah.
even though it's not Moody, he is still teaching them well in this, like, you know, in this year. He's still a good teacher, even as Barty Crouch Jr. And he is still following orders from Dumbledore, because Dumbledore and him did talk about teaching the kids this, and he agrees that he wants them to learn this. So
even an evil maniac is a better defense teacher than Lockhart.
And Umbridge.
Well, like, and it's interesting too to see, you forget the good, not that you don't see good qualities in Harry, but like how gifted he truly is, because a lot of times people just assume that he's just, you know, it just comes easy to him that he was able to overpower the Imperius Curse, like, almost from jump. He is a powerful wizard. I think people forget that it's not just dumb luck.
Right? Yeah. I think that's totally accurate.
I like this question. Would you believe Harry when he says he didn't put his name in the Goblet of Fire?
I would.
Yeah.
I think
as a regular student?
Oh, is it really? No.
No.
friend, yes.
I'd be like, friend, oh, that Harry Potter? He's looking for some more fame?
Yeah.
No, I probably wouldn't believe him. I'd need him to work to prove it to me, but I don't really think he cares about me, so I don't think that would happen.
Oh.
I would believe him. Innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, Tiffany, if he was your friend...
Yeah. If he was my friend, I would believe him, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta trust your friends. If you don't trust your friends, they're not your friends, right?
True. Yeah. If you knew what was happening at Hogwarts and you had a child in the school, would you tell them about the tournament? I think we kind of
I would not to be a surprise.
Nope.
Well, I would ruin it for them, because I would.
I think I would be that mean mom that would be like, nah, I know something you don't, and then I'm very good at not telling you. You know what I mean? I'd be like, it's not my story to tell. Sorry, kid.
Yeah.
Not my story to tell.
Who would you cheer for in the tournament?
I would cheer for Cedric and Harriet, honestly.
Yeah.
Any Hogwarts champion.
I would who Harry. More, though?
Harry.
Being a Hufflepuff, I'd have to back my boy, said. So.
Yeah, whatever.
I would probably cheer Harry, partly because I don't want him to die because he's so young and I'd be worried about him.
Yeah.
Also, Crumb is not ugly, so I'd probably secretly cheer for him.
A young boy of 12.
Crumb rhymes with yum.
What's the weirdest thing someone has tried to take in your car without asking you? Owls? What? Heavy trunks?
Who asked this?
Beverly.
Bev.
I do have a weird story.
Themselves. The person. Don't get in my car.
I don't want to take you anywhere.
When I was little, I found this enormous icicle that I wanted to keep, and my aunt is like awesome, so she let me put it in her trunk, and then we forgot about it, and I went to check on it later, and it melted, and I was sad.
Oh, Kate.
So I put something weird in someone's car, but I did ask.
An icicle?
It was huge!
Somebody send Katie an icicle with dry ice.
Who is our favorite Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher?
Remus.
Is it Quirrell, Lockhart, Remus, Moody, Umbridge, or Snape?
Alright, go in order.
Go in order?
Yeah, who's first?
Oh, order them?
No, your favorite.
Oh.
Don't order them. That would take forever.
Remus.
I mean, it really wouldn't.
Well,
if you think of bad, like, bad to worst,
yeah,
or bad to good, it would be, like, Umbridge, Snape, Quirrell, Whoa. Or Lockhart, then Quirrell. Whoa. I just don't like Snape. I guess you would put Lockhart before Snape.
I'm going to say my favorite, all right? Umbridge.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, Remus is number one, and then underneath him is Moody, because he's actually a decent teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fake Moody.
And then Quirrell.
I would actually put Snape after Moody.
I agree.
You think so?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I just think because he's mean.
Well, yeah, but I'm just thinking.
You're not a good teacher, though.
Yeah, I feel that on a personal level. I'm awful. No, I'm just kidding.
Can we just pick Remus and then Moody and then just scrap the rest? Yeah, you don't need anybody else.
Lockhart just was not... He meant well-ish.
He asked them what his favorite color was.
Get all the important information. It's
lilac.
Lilac.
Look, Tiffany remembers it. Good information.
I learned so much in that class.
Yeah. how would you react if your name was randomly pulled out of the goblet and you never wanted to enter? People die in this tournament. You're underage. You're at a clear disadvantage. How would you feel if you were Harry?
Terrified.
I would feel sick. Like, barf.
I would probably fall to the floor like a wet noodle, like, you know?
I'm going to compare this feeling to how I felt waiting to meet Taylor Swift.
Oh my god.
Like, it was excitement, but also dread, because, like, it's a really weird feeling. I literally felt like I was going to throw up. Just, like, so much anxiety and so many nerves, like, all bundled inside you, and, like, you just can't relax.
But you'd be excited if you got entered into the tournament not under your own volition?
I mean, like, maybe after a while and it settled.
And then, I think, like, I would just want to die.
And, like, especially if I was going down the path that Harry went down, like, I felt like I was preparing. I had a plan. I wouldn't be as nervous the closer I got to the task if I had Hermione as a friend and she was helping me with summoning charms and we had, like, a plan, you know what I mean? It would be a little bit better. Especially, like, if you think about how this tournament played out. And, like, again, I don't know if this is necessarily how it happened every year, but based on what we've read, it might have been. Stuff leaked to the kids who were in it all the time. So they were always able to, like, prepare a little bit more than you would have originally thought that they were.
Dude, I'd be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be like Harry, though, in the sense where, like, it would be hours before the tournament and I'm just now, like, literally figuring it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be so anxious. Like, that's my one thing. Like, when I get crazy anxious, I just ignore it and hope it goes away, which is never the case. That's not how life works.
Yeah.
And, like, that would be me. So I would, it would be, like, you know, midnight the night before the task, and I'm like, okay, gotta practice myself. Hope it works.
Meg's just like, it'd be fine. And I'm like, no.
I mean, as long as you have a good support system and they help you figure it out. But, like, yeah, I can't imagine being Harry before the second task. That would have been nerves galore, man.
Yeah.
Literally falling asleep and you have no idea what you're gonna do, and then you think you're just gonna show up and, like, stand there and be like, hey, don't know how to breathe underwater for an hour, okay, bye.
Shout out to Dobby.
Okay, we have two more questions and then we'll call it quits, okay?
Okay, yep.
What other person, Death Eater or not, could or should impersonate Moody instead of Crouch Jr.?
Instead of who?
Crouch. Barty Crouch Jr.
Thank you.
Junior. I'm gonna go with Lockhart because he wanted to get back into the school.
Oh my gosh.
I think David Tennant would be a great choice.
I don't know if anybody else could have done it as well as Crouch Jr. Like, he was just a really clever dude. Yeah. But I guess maybe, like, if you just go to the Old Faithful, maybe Bellatrix's husband, Rodolphus. Or
Voldemort himself.
Yeah. He's
possessive. Wormtail.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Hey, did you guys see, like, why, like, if you think about it, why does he call him Wormtail as well? Did he tell him what his nickname was? Did Wormtail tell Voldemort?
Okay, I read a little bit about somebody was talking about it in the Facebook group, and somebody said that they kind of assumed it was his way of, like, degrading him.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Like, I'm gonna call you by your high school nickname. Yeah. You're a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see him doing that.
Yeah, what would people call you? Mine was O'Malley. Oh, so degrading, calling him a last name.
All right, last question. If you could design a tournament challenge, what would it be?
The cinnamon challenge.
Oh my god.
I was just talking about that the other day because my mom was convinced that my grandma did the cinnamon challenge every morning. And I was like, no, mom, that's no. And she's like, yeah, she eats cinnamon every day in her oatmeal. And I was like, that's not what I'm talking about. So I had to pull up a video and show her what the cinnamon challenge really was. And then she was, like, dying. We were out at a restaurant, and she was like, yeah, she doesn't do that. I'm like, I know she doesn't do that. She puts cinnamon in her oatmeal.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Chug a gallon of milk and run a mile.
No, you can't
under an hour.
You will vomit.
Yeah, you can't do it within an hour.
Guess you're gonna puke.
And then you're gonna run.
If I had to come... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm just thinking out loud.
I think that...
I was gonna say, they would probably have... Like, I would make them do a triathlon.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Like, because think of how many people can't do it. Because you gotta swim a certain amount, you gotta bike, you gotta run. That's endurance, man.
What if you had the squid, like, nipping at you while you're swimming?
Yeah.
Suction cupping.
That's kind of really scary. So I have two. I think back to their final for Defense Against the Dark Arts with Lupin. I think something like that would be really cool, where it was kind of like an obstacle course of dark creatures that they had to get away from, which is somewhat similar to the maze.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it would be a maze. It would just be like they have to, you know, go through levels to like defeat these creatures. And then the other thing, I think, you know, something that I would excel very well at would just be like, I don't know, Harry Potter trivia.
Oh, I did think of like, what if like you had to do like someone's hair and makeup, like, and had to be really good. That's what I would be really good at.
Getting a class of first graders to pay attention at the same time.
Designing stuff for Swish and Flick, Katie. That would be yours.
You have an hour.
Dude.
In an hour to design this flyer.
Let's just
now.
Say, get ready. Get ready.
Yeah, we
Katie's
got some new
been killing it.
Patron launch stuff coming. I'm excited for everybody to see it.
Yeah.
We're it's ordering awesome. Stuff tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Jinx, you want me a Coke? Yes.
I'll get you one on Friday.
I feel like everybody that's of legal age to drink, or if you don't have to, if you don't want to, should listen to our episodes, and every time we say all right, should take a shot. Depending on the episode, you might die.
Shot of milk.
But not the whole gallon, because you'll puke.
All you right. literally will. It's physically impossible to drink a gallon of milk in under an hour.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. Shot. So this fan story comes from Christy Keen. That's a cool name.
Hey, Christy.
Anybody watch Powerpuff Girls? Their teacher was Miss Keen.
Throwing it back.
All right. So Christy says, "Hi, girls and fellow Swishers. I'm guessing at age 56, I am much older than the average Swisher because I only started listening to book one in the series in February of... 2018. And it was because my 15-year-old grandson, who thought if he got me interested in the books, maybe I would take him to Universal.
Good plan.
He got you.
The child knows me pretty well, and his strategy worked perfectly because we are going the week after Thanksgiving, which means I think you guys already went, so please tell us how it went.
Fun.
Yes.
I am happy to be a Hufflepuff. Woo-woo. And my Patronus is a stoat. Pottermore says it is a weasel-like animal, but with black on the tail. I wish I was something more glamorous.
Oh, that sounds cute.
It does sound cute.
Yes.
And weasels can be very vicious, so look out.
Stoat sandwiches are delish.
Just ask Hagrid.
Yeah.
I am not sure what my wand will be, because I really want to go to Ollivander's, where my wand will choose me, but if that doesn't happen while we are there, I will figure it out on Pottermore. So
let us know what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Oh my gosh, not that again.
So as the books and movies were coming out, I was raising my family and being a good, quote, church lady. I thought Harry Potter was evil, and if my four growing kids read the books, they would probably run away and join a satanic cult. Of course, at the time, I thought I was doing the right thing for my family, but now I look back and am so sad, because we could have had so much fun experiencing the wonder and the joy that is the world of Harry together, but that is water under the bridge now. I wish I understood then what I understand now, because now I know that creativity comes in so many beautiful forms, and who am I to limit God by telling him that only books about certain things are okay?
Amen.
Yes!
I missed out on so much beauty and joy because I thought everything had to fit into my silly little box, but thankfully God has shown me the beauty of creativity in JK's work and so many other things, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was in Kansas over Valentine's Day earlier this year babysitting my 15-year-old grandson, Ethan, and his little 18-month-old sister, Ariel. Oh, cute. While their parents had a little getaway, and Ethan kept saying he knew I would love Harry Potter, but being a huge Disney person, I kind of just snubbed the whole Harry idea. So he just turned on the audiobook to chapter one of the first book, and almost immediately I was very interested. I flew home a few days later, and before I left, I had my daughter download book two for me. I tried to pace myself and not go too quickly, but a few weeks later, I was down in the laundry room, sitting on the floor, sobbing as I listened to the end of book four.
Oh.
By this time, my family was all thinking this was the funniest thing. So by the end of March, I had finished the series and was feeling so let down and wanting it not to end. That is when I started checking to see if there were any podcasts about Harry Potter, and I found several. I downloaded them all, but after listening to them, the one I thought I could relate to the most was Swish and Flick, so I deleted the rest.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I have listened to most of the podcasts now and have been through the series several times. I am blind, so I feel like watching the movies will be more difficult because some things are not the same as the books, and I will probably get very confused, but I also feel like I probably need to watch the movies because more of Universal is based on the movies.
Mm-hmm.
True. When we go in November, I'm afraid I will miss a lot because now that I have been through the book so many times, I want to know all the details about everything, and my husband, daughter, and grandson aren't as up on everything Harry Potter like I am. Mm-hmm. They actually went to Universal a few years ago, and I turned my nose up. Oh my god.
No, nose up ongoing because I just liked Disney.
And they didn't act all that excited about it when they came back to our resort, but I think they just didn't think I would understand. I have asked them about riding the Hogwarts Express and going to Three Broomsticks and many other things, and they don't seem to remember much. Maybe someone put a memory charm on them or something. When I first started listening to the podcast, I was having a hard time telling your voices apart, but now I have them down, so if I run into you somewhere, not likely because I live in Indiana, hey, don't discount that. I will know who you are. I will know who is who for sure. Hugs Aww. And love to each of you, and thanks for all the fun and laughs and hard work. P.S. Dear Joe, why did Hedwig have to die? I love her so much and honestly dream of a world where we used owls for communication. My grandson got me a Hedwig for my birthday, which was the least he could do after getting me hooked.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'm like, I don't know why I'm crying.
I think that it's really...
I just think you're so sweet, Christy.
Yeah. I think it's really great to, like, hear somebody open up about, like, what made them change their views in terms of, like, you know, not allowing their kids to read it and then coming around to the idea. I think that was really great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks,
And I
Christy.
Love the hugs and love.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for not deleting us and deleting everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
we're
kidding.
The best.
No, but thank you for all sharing your stories. And guys, as always, we are always accepting Potter stories, so just keep emailing them in at swishflickcast@gmail.com. Getting through them as we can. There's a lot of them, and we love it. So,
yep. Yeah.
All right, so you can find us...
Shot!
You can find us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at @SwishFlickCast. Also, make sure you head on over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel there. We are going to vlog our adventure to New York, so you can look for a new vlog on that coming soon after we get back from NYC. You can also join us on Patreon for exclusive access to The Felix Files, which is our bi-monthly bonus episodes, a chance to be a guest on The Felix Files, and you can also join our monthly Zoom hangouts, which are a lot of fun. If that sounds fun to you, make sure that you go to patreon.com/swishflickcast. You can choose your support level. Thank you to all of our current patrons. We appreciate it very much. And lastly, make sure that you check out our website, swishflickcast.com, to get all the info on us compiled into one place, along with all of our merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tiff, do you want
Shot.
To plug anything?
I'm pretty active on Twitter. At @TiffSwish_flick. I tweet about a bunch of stuff. Currently raising Alana, as I will be until the end of time. I don't know. Just getting ready for NYC.
Yeah. Me too. You can follow Katie and I on Main Street 9 3/4 YouTube for our Scotland, England vlogs slowly trickling out. I'm sorry that I'm not posting them weekly, but it really actually makes me sad every time that I make one because that's like the last time I get to live that footage. So I feel like once I make that vlog, it's kind of like, you know,
that day's over
and I'm not going to go back to it for a while. So, But there should be another one coming out this week.
Cool.
And I'll plug our Etsy page, Akio Designs, if you want some cool Harry Potter decor in your home, or if you need a really soft scarf to keep you warm this winter, or a lovely blanket made by my mother-in-law, Meg's mom, check it out, because they're actually really, really nice.
They are, and I created a code for our listeners to give you guys 20% off on posters, and the code is Swisher. So super easy to remember. If you go to our Etsy page, use the code Swisher, you'll get 20% off all poster orders. We can't discount the scarves and blankets because my mom's margin on those is not very much, just so that you guys know. She just makes them because she likes them, but we just got to cover the cost of the yarn. But all of the posters... get 20% off.
Bev said Meg's mom's tales of knitting. Sarah.
Is it my turn to talk about my non-existent life?
You want to treat yourself?
I did. Yeah, I did. So I finished the book I was reading last time, which was like Smoke Gets in Their Eyes by Caitlin Doughty. It was very good. Different than what I expected, but and also an odd read because I'm reading about like the whole death and dying experience. And then I was like talking to my mom about it, and she's like, "Why are we having this conversation?" So I was like, "Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be embalmed?" And she's just like, "Let's not."
Yeah.
And now I'm reading a new book, but I don't want to say what it is yet until like I get into it, just in case I don't.
It doesn't actually hook you.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. We'll see. Because I'm struggling with that lately, the last couple of years. Like, I can't get into books. So.
I know, I'm the same way. It's hard.
That's my goal this year is I want to read more. I only read 2 non-Harry Potter books last year, and I'm trying to change that.
Yeah.
So, I've read 1 book so far this year besides Harry Potter. Woo!
Way to go.
Good job.
Yep. So, that's it. That's my fun, exciting life. Follow me on Instagram at O'Malley. O'Malley.
How many H's?
3 H's.
Nice. Katie was ready for that one.
I'm on it today.
Tis all?
Yep.
It's all.
Okay, well, join us next week when we figure out what happened to Skaterades 1 through 6.
Oh my gosh.
Are they like the Stitches? Stitches, right? Stitch?
Tiffany, you're just killing it with these end liners lately.
I wrote it on a post-it.
Oh my god.
Alright guys, that concludes this week's episode. Nope, just kidding, Megan.
I just wanted to give everybody a quick heads up that we are planning to record a handful of episodes while we're in New York. Yes. So, any patrons that want to follow along, we're going to be recording Thursday and Friday earlier in the day. So be on the lookout for us posting links next week to join us on Discord for the episodes.
You can put us in your ears while you're at work.
Yeah.
We might also do one like late at night too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we might do quite a few. So that's also when our patron hangout for February is going to be. So I'll remind everybody about that as well.
Yeah. All you Phoenixes.
Yeah.
5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Friday. What is that? The 23rd? 2nd?
22nd.
22nd. Is that really all this time?
That is really all. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
You wrecked my ending quote. But
I love you.
She came in like a wrecking ball.
Oh my god.
Silence.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Iggy, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, dude, let's not do this.
Iggy.
Do it, Iggy. Do it.
No, Iggy, don't.
Yeah. Do it, Iggy. Whatever it is.
He's gonna bite have it. Good judgment. He's walking away slowly.
Not really.
He's turning slowly. Ignotus!
Now I hope he bites you.
Daddy.
He doesn't bite. He sneezes on you.
Yeah, he'll sneeze.
I'd rather him bite.
Honestly.
Yeah, let's go.
Can I just say I'm very excited that Leopard Print is back? You laugh. I'm so excited. I already have things in carts where I'm like, I don't really need this much Leopard Print, but I really do.
Things in carts.
Because it looks great with a red lip. And
you look good with a red lip.
I know I do. Thanks.
Oh my. So humble.
Attention, dear Swishes. Adventure is out there. Why settle for ordinary coffee? Nope. It's hard, like, reading this when I'm usually, like, ad-libbing with my life. All right, I'm going to start over.
Okay.
All right. Attention. Not a word.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.